Begin the current daf in Sechta Shavuos daf Mem Hei. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Yamed. But the Gemara continues the discussion of the Mishnah, which in the Mishnah itself, in the previous daf, which began the 7th perek in this Masechta, perek Kol Nishboin, which described, although generally biblical oaths are all Nishboin ve'ein Mishalman, which is that the defendant exempts himself through an oath, there are certain rabbinic situations where actually it's going to be Nishbo Menoitlin, that the person that swears and then collects through that oath. And one of the cases the Mishnah described, which now the Mishnah explains what that case is V'achen V'nial Pinkasai, which is that a storekeeper on his ledger has that he's owed certain money. On that we say that although generally the defendant swears and he exempts himself, in this case, the storekeeper swears that he's owed that money and he collects. Says the Mishnah Ketzad, what's that case? So the Mishnah describes, Loisha Yoimeloi, it's not Toban where that he should tell to the homeowner, to the consumer, Kasev al Pinkasi, it's written on my ledger, Shatachayv l'Mesayim Zuz, that you owe me 200 Zuz. No, that he's not qualified to say that I have on my ledger, it says on my credit that you owe me $200. Ella, rather, the case is talking about specifically like this. Oimerloi, the homeowner, the consumer, tells the storekeeper, Ten libni sasayim chitin, give my son, he's going to come to the store, give him 2 saws worth of wheat. Or ten lepoyaloi sela mois, give my workers amount of food that's equivalent to a sela of monies which I owe them, you know, put it on the bill and I'll pay you back. And who Imr Nasati, and the storekeeper says, I gave it to him, I gave it to them. Vehein Imrim Loi Natalnu, but they say, the child, the employees, they say, we didn't take from him. So who Nishbem Naital? So that's the halacha of the Chemini that he swears and he collects from the person that told him to give the items to these people, which he claims he did. And then they swear and they take. These are situations, although they're generally the one who has the oath, which is the consumer who said to give to my children. He swears to exempt himself. In this case, the storekeeper and the workers, they swear that they are still owed money and they collect from him. To which Amad Ben Anas, he disagrees. He says, Kesed Eilav Eilaboyin, how could you have both these parties come to court that will ultimately lead to a false oath, because at least one of these are lying. He's swearing that he gave it to them, and they're swearing that he didn't give it to us. So they're both collecting from this balabais. How could we require oaths that are going to for sure make someone swear a false oath? Ella rather says, Bananas, who noitl shalai b'shvu? He, the storekeeper, takes without an oath, v'hein noitl shalai b'shvu, and they also take without an oath, and they both collect without an oath. Now, parenthetically, the Gemara brings, once we discuss the halacha of a storekeeper, segues into related halachas. If someone tells a storekeeper, tell me bedina payers, which was also regarding, did he pay, did he not pay, did he give, did he not give? So here we're talking about with a person directly with a storekeeper, and he says to the storekeeper, tell me bedina payers, hey, I'm giving you a dinner worth of money, for I want produce for that. And he gives him produce. So amalai, tell me it's a dinner. So now the storekeeper says, okay, I give you the produce, now give me the money. The consumer says, I already gave you the money. And you put it into your wallet where you put in the money. So that says the Tanakhama, Yeshava Bal Habayis, so the consumer swears what's known as Shavuos Hasis, which is a rabbinic oath, Shanosan Lais Adinner, that he already gave him the money and that he exempts himself from having to pay him more money. He already has the produce, he doesn't have to give him money. Now, Amaloi, let's say he tells him the other way around. Let's say he tells to the storekeeper, okay, tell me as a payers. I gave you the money, now give me the produce. Amaloi nesatam loch, the storekeeper says, I already gave you the produce. Voilachtim lotech besech, you already brought it home already. There you shove a chemini. So the storekeeper swears to exempt himself that he already gave the produce. Now, Rabbi Hudaimi disagrees with the Tanakama, and he says, kol shaperis biyadei, whoever has the produce in his hand, yodei alayon, he has the upper hand. Which essentially means to say, is the on the Reisha he disagrees, where on that the Tanakhama had said, Yeshava Balabayis, the homeowner who has the produce, he said he has to swear that he already gave the dinner and he exempts himself. On that, Rebbe actually says that he doesn't even need an oath. Why? Because if the homeowner, if the consumer already has the produce, it's not normative for a storekeeper to sell on credit to give the produce without having received the money. And therefore we assume that if he has the produce, that he already gave the money, and therefore he doesn't have to swear, he's exempt, even without swearing on that claim that he already gave the money. Similar type of a case, instead of a storekeeper, Amar l'shulchani, says to a money changer, tell me bedina mois, I want you to give me for this dinner, I'm giving you, I want you to give me smaller currency, that of copper prutais. V'nasanai, and he gives him that lower change. Amaloi tell me said dinner. So this money changer says, okay, now give me the larger bill now. Amaloi Nesatib says, I already gave it to you. Then Nesatib and Poli, and you put it into your wallet. Yeshava Balabayis, the consumer, swears and he exempts himself from having to give him the dinner. Let's say the other way around. Let's say Nesla as a dinner. He gave him the dinner. Amaloi tell me a samoi. So he says, okay, now give me the copper coins. Amaloi Nesatib Lach. Money changer says, I already gave you the copper coins. Veshlach Lutech Kisech, and you put it into your wallet. Yeshava Shulchani, the money changer swears that he doesn't have to give the din, that he doesn't have to give the kapa prutis, that he already gave those already. Now Rabbi Yehuda, here he says, like in the previous halach, he says, no, ein derech shulchani, it's not normative for a money changer, litin isser at sheitel dinner, to give the isser, the lower coins, until he first takes the dinner. So like in the first halach, the same idea, where you don't even have to swear with an oath, we could assume that if you have those kapa coins, that you gave the dinner, you don't have to swear on it. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion of the previous daf of the Mishnah, which was speaking about that the, although generally biblically there's Nishbon v'lo Mishalmed, but rabbinically there are cases of Nishbon and Noitlin, you have to swear and collect. So though we discussed previous leniencies of the Sachar, the Nigzel, the Nechbol, the Shekeneg, the Chalash, Al Ashvu, and then on this daf, the Chemen Al Pakase, that we allow them to swear and to collect, that there's certain cases that you swear and you collect, but it's actually a stringency. Although generally you should be allowed to collect with Aranov, we, the Rabban, then mandated an oath on that collection, as the Mishnah describes. Kishem Shamar, just like they said, which is a Mishnah, Mesechtes Ksubas Dav Pei Zayin Mit Alef, that HaPagemis Ksubasa, like for example, if a woman, when she comes to collect her Ksuba from her late husband's estate, she admits that she already received part of her Ksuba. So it comes out we can't really rely totally on the document of the Ksuba because it's not full-fledged. We know that there was collection on it already. So if the husband claimed that she already actually received all of her ksuba ready, which is therefore that's why I call her pegem's ksuba, so she already made a flaw in her ksuba, then lo tifra ele b'shvua. There, although generally when you have a document, you could collect the whole thing just as is, here it requires an oath with that. So too, and as Rashi explains, all of these are in the kashem sha'amru, where all these halachas were set up with the mesecht ksubas, just like all these things, one is not allowed to collect, where generally you should be allowed to collect, just is, but you, the Rabban mandated an oath on that too, which is, so to ve'eid echad me'ida shipru. Let's say a lone witness testifies that her ksuba was already paid up already. They're also like tefer al-bishavua. Although she has a document of the ksuba, she could only collect with an oath. So to menachasim mishabadim. Let's say she's collecting from incumbent properties, or menachasim yisayim from the orphan's properties, like tefer al-bishavua, she could only collect with an oath. So too, v'anifrash shalei b'fanav, if she's collecting when her husband's not there, where let's say he sent a get to divorce her from overseas, like tefel b'shuvah, she could only collect from her husband's estate with an oath. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. Shem Mishamu, just like we said, all these halachas and Mishnah Mesech Ksubis regarding woman's ksuba, that in all these cases, although she has a document, she cannot just collect, she has to swear and collect. So too, our Mishnah adds on another halacha of achin ha'yisayimim. So too, orphans, lo yufaru ele b'shuvah, they could only collect with an oath, which the Gemara is going to explain, is Toma, when orphans are collecting from orphans, there also the halacha is that they require an oath. What's that oath? Shvush le pekadnu abo, we swear that our father did not direct us with a directive when he was passing away to tell us that this document was already paid up. V'le amalon abo, neither did our father tell us at an earlier time. V'shle mitzinu bein shtereisav shalaba, neither did we find amongst our father's documentations a receipt on this document. Sheshtar zepruah, that should tell us that this document is paid up. And when they swear that they have no reason to believe that it's paid up, then they could collect with that document. Now, Rabbi Yechman Barik, he adds on, he says, even if the son was born after the father already passed away, or let's say the wife was pregnant at the time of the death, so then you can't make all these oaths we just described, our father didn't tell us, or whatever, he wasn't even alive, still Hariza Nishba, still this orphan has to swear from one of the last types of oaths, which is that he didn't find any receipts on amongst his father's documents, and only them, and not only then could he collect from that other orphan. Now, Omer Shimon Gamliel says, "Im yesh edim, but if there are witnesses, Sha'amar av mishas misas, the father said at the time of his death, shtar lezeh eina peru, he specifically said that this document was not paid up yet, then hu noitel shal b'shvu, then the orphan could collect even without an oath. The whole thing was that we don't know, maybe they know about it, that it already was paid up, but if they have witnesses, the father said it wasn't paid up, then they could collect even without an oath, like a regular person could collect with that documentation with without an oath. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Ve'elu nishboin shalei b'tayna. Like, and this is continuing on the stringencies, although there are certain times you could collect, but certain times, as we, in previous cases, we said that the Chacham tacked on that one requires an oath to collect. Here, ve'ele nishban shaloi betana. Here, that these individuals have to swear when they want to collect, even without a definitive claim from the other party. They are hashutafen, partners, va'ris and sharecroppers, va'petrapen and caretakers, va'isha ha'nisenes, va'nisenes betei habayis, a woman that takes care of the estate in the house, uben habayis, or one of the family members that takes care of the estate. And the explanation is because these individuals are more hamish, they're more comfortable, and they could rationalize taking different things, so we automatically make them take an oath that clearly that what's owed to them is owed to them, and they didn't siphon off any other monies in that interim. Whereas the Mishnah describes, what does it mean, shaloi betana? Amar loy, if let's say these individuals tell to the opposing parties, the plaintiffs, ma'ata tenenen, what are you making me, what's your claim against me? Why, what do you want from me? And they tell him or her, ritzayni shetashavali, no, I just want that you should swear to me. And that's what the Mishnah says, chayiv, meaning shaloi betana means to say there's no definitive claim, still we just want you to swear. That could require them to swear because of the reasons that we explained before, that they could rationalize and take things and not actually be owed all the money that they're claiming that's owed to them. Now, however, the Mishnah does qualify and says, but chol kashrut tafen ba'risin. So let's say the partnership already dissolved, the sharecropper already stopped working for the owner, then ein yochel hashbi'ah, then they could not make him take an oath, again, without a definitive claim. Definitive claim, anyone has to swear. But here, like we say generally, they have to swear even with not a tainis vaday. If they're not partners anymore, then they don't have to swear. But, says the Mishnah, but let's say if it rolls on to this shutif, former aris, an obligation to swear for a different reason, then we actually devolve on him all the oaths that we would have if he were still a partner or a sharecropper. And the Mishnah concludes, v'shviyas mishametis es hashvua. Not only does the Shemitah year cancel all debts, but so too regarding when we said that there's certain times that there's obligation to swear, which is related to that monetary obligation, the Shemitah year cancels not only debts, but also the oaths that are obligations regarding the debts. Those obligatory oaths are canceled from the Shemitah year. Now the Gemara explains the halacha of our Mishnah, which said, "Kol nishban shebetar, all those who biblically swear an oath, are nishban v'le mishaman, are only those that swear and don't pay to exempt themselves. It's only rabbinically that we have such a concept of that you one swears and collects with. So the Gemara asks, "Manolam, where do we know this from?" So says the Gemara, because the Amakar, the Pasuk says in Shemais, which the beginning of the Pasuk says, Shvus Hashem ti ben shneim, that the oath of Hashem should be between the two parties. And it says, V'lokach ba'olav, that the owner takes the oath, V'lo yishalem, and the defendant does not pay anything anymore. So you see that he collects with the oath, because it's the party that's defending, that swears it and exempts himself with that. As the Gemara explains, Misha olav l'shalem, the one who is incumbent upon him to pay, Loi shvu, he has the oath, and that's what it says, that he pays with the oath. It's what it, and that's why many times when he can't swear, then he has to pay, because he's paying with the oath by swearing, I don't owe you anything, and that's how we know that nishboin v'le mishalman. Now, the Mishnah continues, says, but the elu nishboin v'naitlin. But these individuals, these categories, they swear and they do collect chulu, etc. Which the first one was hasachar, the hired worker. Which the Gemara asks, "Ma'ish no sachar? Why is a hired worker any different to the kinyan le rabbanu de mishtabei v'shakel?" Generally, if someone's a creditor, he doesn't swear and collect. The defendant swears and exempts himself. Why did they institute that a hired worker swears and collects? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, he says, "Halachas gedoy l'shanu kan. Great halachas were taught over here." Now the Gemara asks on that wording, "Halachas? Hani hilchasa ninu? These are halachas. Generally, the word hilchasa means halach l'mayish misinai." This is halacha l'mishnah misinai. This is rabbinic law. Elaimer rather says the Gemara, no, not halacha is gedolus, but takon is gedolus shamakan. These are great institutions that are being taught over here. On that, the Gemara asks too, gedolus, big ones? Mechlal deka ketanis, what you're inferring that are small rabbinic institutions, they're all big. So Elam Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel says, no, takon is kevua shamakan. Permanent institutions were being taught over here. What does that mean? A krura ban l'shvu mevalabais. The rabbis did. They did something very permanent. They uprooted the oath, which is incumbent upon the homeowner, which is to exempt himself of that he doesn't owe any money to his employee. V'shadu asachar, and then they placed it onto the hired worker. Now, why did they do that? Is as the Gemara explained, mishum kedei chayev. It's for the sustenance, for the livelihood of the worker. This worker lives paycheck to paycheck, and he needs to have that paycheck. And the employees got a lot of money, a lot of workers. For him, it's not so pertinent. And therefore, we gave the opportunity to the hired worker for him to swear to be able to make sure that he gets his paycheck. On that, asked the Gemara, "Umbeshim kedei chayiv the sacher, because of the livelihood of the hired worker, kansin le lebal habayis, we penalize the employee, the homeowner. What's his loss? Because this guy, why should we make her bend against the institution and make him lose and let this guy collect if maybe let's say he's not really owed the money anymore?" So the Gemara, "No bal habayis gufe, the employee, the homeowner himself." He prefers to have, when this doubt arises, that the hired worker swears and he collects. So that he should be able to have workers that would want to work for him. Because if he's going to swear and he's going to make the worker lose out, he's not going to find any more workers anymore. Because they're all going to be afraid of him. They're going to say, "Ha, this guy, you come to for the paycheck," and he says, "I paid you already. And why should I work for this guy? I'm not going to get paid." So therefore, he actually prefers that the hired worker swear to collect. And that is the Gemara. But to the contrary, Sachar nichalei d'lishtabeya balabayis v'nifka, to the hired worker prefers that the employee swears to exempt himself, kehecha d'ligri balabayis, so that actually employees should want to hire this worker. Because if he swears and he collects, he's afraid that they're going to suspect him for a guy that he gets paid, then he comes back again and he says, "I didn't get paid yet." And then he swears and he collects again. So I'm not going to hire this worker. So actually he prefers that the employee swears. Says the Gemara, "No, balabai is al-karchi'ag. Why is he so afraid that he's not going to get hired? The employee needs workers. So anyways, he's going to have to hire him anyway. Why should he wouldn't be afraid?" So the Gemara says, "What do you mean?" So then the other way is also, "Sachanami al-karchi misker." What do you mean? The hired worker most definitely is going to have to work for somebody, because he needs food. So what's the homeowner afraid? That he's like this employee that people say he swears and he exempts himself? It doesn't make a difference. The worker's going to have to work. He'll have to, I have a choice. He'll go, even though the guy exempted himself once before, he'll have to hire himself out anyway. So how do we understand, why are we doing it to kana kedei chayav of the sacher, which is going to be a loss for the balabayas, and each one doesn't necessarily prefer that the other one swear more than himself? Ella rather, says the Gemara, Balabayis Torah Bepoilavu. The reason why we did this Takanda Rabban is because the employee is very busy with all his workers. And he thinks he gave the wages for many workers, and he thinks he gave it to this guy too. But really, he's mistaken. It's very common when you're multitasking that you make the mistake. This employee has one thing, my paycheck, and that he knows, I did not get paid. You paid 70 other workers, but not me. And therefore, we gave it to the Sachar and not the Balabayis. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then if it's obvious that the one who is going to recall is the Sachar, and he's saying he didn't get paid, and the employee is saying, "I paid," we don't trust him. Like you said, he's very busy. So he should have to give it even without an oath. Why do we even require the Sachar to swear? Says the Gemara, you're right. We really would believe the Sachar, even without an oath. But kadei lahavish da'at shel balabayis is to appease the consciousness of the employee, and we don't want him getting all riled up and thinking, "What's going on over here? I know I paid him." So to calm him down, so we say, although we're going to trust the Sachar and we let him have the upper hand, but he's got to swear, and then it's okay. If the guy's swearing, very likely I actually didn't pay him. But the Gemara still asks, but let's avoid the whole thing in the first place. Valesivle be'edim. Let the Chacham be misaken that a person should not pay his worker unless in front of witnesses. And we'll avoid, an oath is something that's a very severe thing. We don't want people swearing. And then we'll avoid the whole problem because witnesses will have seen if he paid him or not. And if there's no witnesses, then we don't believe him. So it's like, come on, no, trichle mils. That's very too difficult. All days me running after witnesses. Witnesses, witnesses. I got to pay a worker. All days paying workers. You can't be busy with trying to get witnesses. But I'm going to ask a different question. But velasively me kara, let Rabban the institute that a person should always pay his workers first thing in the morning, before they even start working. And then if the worker comes to claim his money in the evening, doesn't get anything. And we're going to avoid the whole problem by taking an oath, because what are you claiming now? Everyone knows workers only get paid in the morning. And therefore, if he wouldn't get paid, he wouldn't work, because everyone knows this gets paid in the morning. So what? We could avoid the whole shvua thing. Says the Gemara, no, shneim reitzin ba'kaf. No, actually, they both, employee and employer, both want it to be on credit. The employee sometimes doesn't have money in the morning until the job is done later in the evening. The worker also doesn't want to have the money all day so that he doesn't use it up before he gets home at night. And his wife says, "Where's the money that I spent during the day?" So they both prefer not to be in the morning. So therefore, these are not viable options to avoid the halacha that we instituted of the sacher swearing with an oath and collecting. But as we continue to Medbeis, the Gemara asks a different question. If that's the case that you're describing, that because of the preoccupation of the employee, we took the oath from him and we gave it to the sacher to swear and collect, then even if they disagree regarding how much did they make up that the worker is going to get paid, we should believe the worker through an oath, Because we said that this employee, he is so scatterbrained, he's so busy. He doesn't remember, did I tell him to give me $100 an hour, $75 an hour? The worker, he knows, I'm doing the job. I have one thing on my mind, my paycheck, and I know this is what we made up. So Allah Matanya, why do we learn the Braisa? Umen Oimer Shtaim Katzatili. The professional, the worker says, look, you made up, you're going to give me two. The employee says, no, this job, I know I have 100 workers on this field. I know I made up to give you only one. Says the Braisa, Hamitzi Mechaveri, the Uman, the worker who's coming to collect from the employee. Alavaraya, it's incumbent upon him to bring proof, meaning he has to bring witnesses that the job was made up to be two. In other words, he needs proof and he's not trusted with an oath. But why? Didn't we just say that we do believe the sacher over the balabais? And he should be believed with an oath, just like we believe him that he wasn't paid yet. Says the Gemara, no, ketzitza vadi mitkedochale, no. Although the balabais might have been made a mistake if he paid this guy or not, but prices he knows. This guy is running a business. He knows how much he made up to pay. And therefore, regarding that, we don't say we believe the sacher over the balabais. And therefore, if the sacher wants to collect more than what the balabais claims the wage was, then he has to bring proof with witnesses. We don't believe him with an oath. But the Gemara still asks, Ihachi, but if that's the case that you described, that the reason why the takana is that the sacher swears is because the balabais is tarid, and maybe he's going to forget that if he paid him or not, then even if the worker claims the wages after what's the normative time of collection for work that was done, which the Gemara B'Metzia and the Kavav Mebez explains, someone that was a worker by day, his collection period is throughout the night. Someone that was a night job, so his collection is throughout the entire day. So the question is, even after that allotted time, the worker should still be allowed to swear and collect, because the guy just doesn't know if he paid him or not. Allah matanya, why do we learn the braisa that over his man, let's say the time of collection, which is the time period after when the person worked, if he didn't give it to him yet, then it doesn't. We don't allow that anymore. Then he cannot swear and collect. But why? If the reason is that the sacher knows and the balabais doesn't know, then who cares if that time elapsed yet? We should still allow him to swear and collect. So the Gemara, no, if it already elapsed that time period, the presumption is that a homeowner does not violate the issur d'oraisa of bal talan, which is actually why there's a zman gevi, a time of collection. If a guy worked throughout the entire day till night, we give the balabais, the employee, the homeowner, the whole night to pay him up. If the whole night goes by and it's the next day, he violated the issur d'oraisa of bal talan, don't leave it overnight, not having paid the worker. So once that time passes, then we already have a chazaka that he did pay him already, because he's not going to violate an issur d'oraisa. And therefore, we don't believe in the sacher that he wasn't paid yet to collect with an oath. And that is the Gemara. But va'amrit balabai is tarid b'paylavu. But how can that be? Why do you think he's not violating bal talan? But you said he's so busy with all his workers, he thinks he paid. So why shouldn't we assume that he violated by mistake bal talan? And even after the time elapsed, he still didn't pay it up. Says the Gemara, no hani mili mekmei delim dizman chayuvo. When would we say that he would make the error in judgment if he paid him an ad? That would be before the time of obligation of an issur d'oraisa bal talan. Kimati zman chiyuva, but when it would come time for a biblical obligation, rami anav sheimitke, he would put it on this thing and say, wait a second, I got to figure this out. There's an issur d'oraisa bal talan coming over here. I got to pay a worker on his time that the Torah says b'yaymai. So then he would think and go through the calculation. Then he would remember, you know what? I didn't pay this guy yet. But before that, then he would make the error. So then we believe the sacher. Afterwards, then we wouldn't believe the sacher anymore, because then we would assume that the owner did not violate bal talan and that he already paid him up. But ask the Gemara, so what? You're saying there's a chazaka that the balabais would not be over bal talan. But I can tell you a chazaka the other way. The chisacher over mishum bal tigzel, would the hired worker violate the isser of stealing to get paid two times? There's a chazaka that he wouldn't violate an isser d'oraisa too. So why do you say the chazaka allows us to not believe the sacher, but there's a chazaka working in the sacher's favor too? So then that should cancel each other out and go back to the status quo beforehand, that the one who knows more is the sacher versus the balabais, and he should be allowed to swear and collect. So the Gemara, no, because gabe balabais, it could trei chazaki. By the homeowner, there's not just one chazaka. There's two chazakas versus the sacher has only one chazaka. Chada, first of all, the aim balabais of a bal talan, like we said. First of all, there's a presumption that he would not violate this, that the reis of not paying on time. The other one is that also a worker would not delay collecting that long. you definitely would have collected your wage. You don't let someone that you worked for wait a week till you collect from him. And therefore, once that time passes, we presume, A, that the Baal Bais was not over this deraisa, and that the Sacher wouldn't have not collected yet, and therefore, when he comes after that time, he cannot just be just swear and collect. He would have to bring Edim if he wanted to collect. Now, however, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, says, Lo Yishana, we did not learn this halacha of our Mishnah, that the Sacher is Nishba v'Neitel, that he swears and he collects, only if he was hired with witnesses. That is, there were witnesses who say that that were there when he told them, okay, I want you to work for me for pay today, and that they saw that this guy worked for him. But let's say this guy was hired without witnesses. The guy came, they were talking in the office, says, okay, you know, you work for me today, this and that. And then later on the day, he comes and says, okay, pay me. He says, I paid you already. There, since the employer could say, I never hired you, and there's no witnesses that he did, so that's what's called migui, since he could make that claim, so then he could say, yes, I did hire you, but I already paid your wages, and the Baal Bais would be believed, even without an oath, and we wouldn't say that the Sacher could swear and collect. Now, Amalei Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, Yishar, that you should be strengthened, that you said very well, because V'cheinam B'yechan and Sotir B'yechan says the same halacha. Now the Gemara asks, as it had this on the previous daf, same type of a question, why was Rabbi Yitzchak saying over, generally Rabbi Yechan and Rish Lakish were in the same study hall, and if Rabbi Yitzchak, who was there by the lecture, said that Rabbi Yechan said the same thing, why is he saying only Rabbi Yechan? Mechlal de Paul Galer Rish Lakish, is that to infer that, however, Rish Lakish disagree with that? And that the Gemara says, no, Ikadame, that those that say, Mishta b'shasile, b'shasile. At the time Rabbi Yechan was saying over this halacha, Rish Lakish was drinking water, and therefore he was quiet. And he basically left before the end, and he didn't hear if Rish Lakish finished drinking and then disagreed or not. So therefore he couldn't quote it, he doesn't know what Rish Lakish said. Or Ikadame, that those that say, Misha b'shasile, b'shasile. In general, Rish Lakish would wait until Rabbi Yechan finished his lecture, and only afterwards would he disagree with Rabbi Yechan. And since Rabbi Yitzchak left before the end, he doesn't know what Rish Lakish said, but he was saying Rabbi Yechan definitely says the same halacha like you said, like in the name of Shmuel. It menami sotu, it was said, the Amr of Nashab has written Amr Rav, that Rav also says the same halacha like Shmuel, that Laishanu el shaschar be'edim. The halacha of our Mishnah of the Sacher swearing and collecting was only said if he was hired with witnesses. So we know he was hired and he did the work. We just don't know if he was paid up or not. And that we said we believe because of Kedei Chayev, and also that we assume that Baal Bais was tarred b'paylov, that we allow the Sacher to swear and collect. But if he was hired without witnesses, since the Baal Bais could say, I never even hired you in the first place, and there's no one that would refute him, so you could tell him, I did hire you, but I already paid you already, and then actually he would believe even without an oath. Now, Amram Bachama, when he heard this teaching, he said, how beautiful is this teaching, that, wow, that's so true. Although we said in the Mishnah that they could swear and collect, that obviously would be only with aid, and without, then the whole thing falls apart in the beginning. Who knows if he even hired in the first place? Which Amalei Rav however asked. He says, my Mal Yusuf, what's so great about this teaching? Im Kain, if this concept would be true, then Shvu Shemrim the Chayav Rachman, then the oath of the custodians which the Torah requires, like in the case of a Shem Asachar, a paid custodian, that he has to swear when he wants to exempt himself by saying that it was an einis, that the animal broke or that it died, which was something beyond his control. Like the Pasuk says in Shema Yisrael Beis, Umeis Einishba Einishba, Shvuas Hashem Ti Ben Shneim, that he swears and he exempts himself. And that is Rava, but then Hechemishkachasla. How could you ever find that the Shemer, let's say, would be obligated in an oath, but since he could tell to the owner of the object that he was watching, he could deny that he was a Shemer in the first place, so he could just say, believe me that I say it was an Einus. And he shouldn't require an oath, just like you're saying that you believe him without an oath, because I could say I never hired you in the first place, so he could say, you never gave me the thing in the first place. So how could you ever have requiring that he should have to swear that it was an oinus if he could have this migu to get out of the whole thing in the first place by saying, you never gave it to me, and according to your logic, doesn't require him to make an oath. Says the Gemara, no, that's not difficult. To afkid lebe edim. He gave him the deposit in front of witnesses, so we know he gave him the deposit. So he doesn't have the migu anymore, that claim of sins, to say that, oh, I could, since I could have said that you never gave it to me. But the Gemara still asks, but since he could say, I gave it back to you, and we don't know, could be gave it back to him. So then, believe me when I say that it was an einus, and I don't need a shvur, because I could have made a different claim by saying, I gave it back to you already. So even though you gave it to me with witnesses, but could be I gave it back to you. So the Gemara, no, the afgid le bishtara. In the case of the Shvur Shemir in the Torah, we'd be talking about where the owner of the object deposited it with the Shemir with a document. Then, had the Shemir said, I give it back to you, then he could say that, no, then you should have taken the document from me that you don't have the deposit anymore. And therefore, he doesn't have the mitoich of saying, I gave it back to you. Neither does he have the mitoich of saying that you never gave it to me because there was witnesses here, there's a document here. And that's why that would be the case he would have to swear. Now, one thing that the Gemara points out is machla, but we could infer the Tavai Svilu that they both hold, both Rava and who he was responding to, who didn't disagree with what he was answering, that a mafkirid sechaver be'edim, if someone deposits something by his friend with witnesses, ein tzorch lahachzel be'edim, he doesn't have to return it with witnesses. The edim prove that he got it. And he can't say he never got it, but he doesn't have to give it back in front of witnesses. And that's why he was saying, well, I could say echzartiv loch. And he says, you're right, must be talking about that there was a shtar. Now, however, bishtar, as we pointed out, but if he gave it to him with a document, then tzorch lahachzel be'edim, he has to give it back in front of witnesses, because again, If not, if it doesn't give back in front of witnesses, then the guy's going to say, hey, I'm still with the shtar. Well, you should have taken back the shtar. So if it takes back the shtar, yeah, of course. But if it doesn't, then the only way he could prove that he gave it back was in front of witnesses. Now, the Gemara tells that Kari Rami Bar Chama led Rav Sheshes. Rami Bar Chama pronounced upon Rav Sheshes the following pasuk in Shmuel Aleph that says, V'yosim David es advar me'ela, and the Gemara says, Bilvavet. The David placed these things on his heart. Meaning, and he was saying the same thing about Rav Sheshes, where that he also put it on his heart to figure out if it's correct, this teaching of Rav and Shmuel, that it's only if he hired him with witnesses, then the Mishnah says the Sachar is Nishba v'Neitel, swears and collects, or not, is it not only if that he hired him with witnesses. Even if he didn't hire him with witnesses, maybe not like Rav and Shmuel, still the Sachar is believed to be Nishba v'Neitel and collects his wages. How so? Because as the Gemara says, the Ashkeche Rav Sheshes l'Rabbi Bar Shmuel. Like Rav Sheshes encountered Rabbi Bar Shmuel, and normally he said to him, Tani mar midi b'sachar, did the master learn anything regarding these laws of a hired worker? And normally he says, yes, Tanina, learning a b'raisa. The b'raisa says, sachar b'zmanoi, if a hired worker is collecting within the time frame of how much is his normal time of a collection, like we said, if he worked the whole day, then that whole night time is considered part of his normal collection time. So if he's coming to collect during that time, so nishba v'neitel, then he swears and he collects. Ketzad haso, says the Braisa. Bizman sh'amaloi, when he tells him, sachartani v'loi nasata li sachari. You hired me, and you didn't pay me yet. Mahalo oimer, and the Balabai says, sacharticha, I did hire you, but v'nasati lach sacharcha, I already paid you already. That's where we say that he's nishba v'neitel. Aval amaloi, but if he tells him, shtaim katzatzali, but they disagree regarding something else, which are mentioned on the top of this Amud, regarding Ketzitza. They're not disagreeing regarding if he paid him or not, but they're disagreeing regarding how much were the wages promised for. The worker says, Shtaim Ketzatzli, you made up to give me two dinner. And the employee says, no, I only made up to give you one dinner. And that says the bright side, like we mentioned earlier, that the proof is incumbent upon the worker. He cannot just swear and collect two, he collects one, because that's what the employee agrees to. And if he would want to collect two, he'd have to bring proof, witnesses, that he was hired for two. Now, one thing the Gemara points out is, HaMedisefa Baraya, says Rav Sheshes, oh, I could prove something important from this Braisa. From the fact that the Sefer, the Braisa, says that when the Sachar wants to collect regarding wages, how much it was made up, he has to bring proof, he has to bring witnesses, he's not believed to swear. HaVeresha Balei Raya, that infers that when the first case, regarding the case of our Sachar Nishba B'Neitel, regarding if he paid up or not, that when it says that he swears and he collects, obviously that's without any proof, that he doesn't have to bring witnesses at all. Meaning, doesn't have to bring witnesses that he had hired him in the first place. And therefore, Rav Sheshes says, you see, not like the teaching of Rav and Shmuel that said before that the Mishnah is only talking about if he has witnesses that he hired him with Edim. You see clearly that, no, that first case does not need any Rai, does not need any witnesses, and then you believe totally with an oath. To which Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, no raya from this braisa against Rav and Shmuel. As we continue to have a Memvav and Aleph, reisha v'seifa b'raya. Both the reisha and the seifa, meaning the reisha also, even when it says nishba menotel, that he swears and he collects the wages within the zman of collection, that's only if he first brings witnesses that he was hired in the first place, like Rav and Shmuel said. Now, raya de l'shalom is just that a proof regarding payment, meaning that would obligate the balabais to pay, that was ketani. That's what we were learning like in the last case, which said, oh, you have to bring proof, meaning you have to bring witnesses. That's for the actual collection. But raya de shvua, a proof to allow the feasibility of an oath, meaning the witnesses that would be obligations not for collecting, But just to allow the Sacher to swear to collect, that like Tanya that we weren't teaching. Yes, the Nishba Menaitl of the Reisha requires witnesses there that he had hired him in the first place. Then if this witness had him in the first place, then he could swear and collect. But although it says only in the Sefer that it's being Raya, that's because we're talking about if you want to collect from the Balabayas and the halacha would be with witnesses, that's what the Mishnah describes. The Sefer requires witnesses to collect. The Reisha does not require witnesses to collect. You only need to swear. But you still need witnesses to allow the oath to happen in the first place. That is true, like Rabbi Shmuel said, but that's not what the Bryce is describing, but it is an inherent fact, and therefore that doesn't refute Rabbi Shmuel in their halacha, that our Mishnah, when it says Sacha Nishba Benaitl, is only if there's witnesses that said that he was hired in the first place, because if not, like they said, then the Balabai says Amiga and says, look, believe me when I say I paid you, because I could just say that you weren't hired in the first place, because there's no witnesses to prove that you were Sacher in the first place.